Hi, this is Malayan Verveer.
And this is Kim Azzarelli.
We are co-authors of the book, Fast Forward, How Women Can Achieve Power and Purpose.
And you're listening to Seneca Women, Conversations on Power and Purpose, brought to you by the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Welcome to this special edition. During these difficult times, we will bring you conversations with experts who can help us gain perspective on the impact of coronavirus, as well as share tips, resources, and some much-needed inspiration. Today, I'm joined by Commissioner Sharon Bowen. Our current situation is not only a health crisis, but a financial crisis. And Sharon knows the implications of this well. She serves on the board of the New York Stock Exchange and sat on two major U.S. government financial commissions dedicated to protecting consumers and investors in the aftermath of 2008, as well as in the aftermath of 9/11, including serving as the commissioner of the CFTC. Sharon, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Kim.
So you've been through 9/11 in New York City and the Great Recession of 2008. What did we learn through those difficult events? And can you give us a perspective on what's happening to the markets right now?
Each of those periods presented an extraordinary period of uncertainty in our country. And that's definitely the case today as well. But the causes are really different. The second thing I would say that they have in common is that we needed proactive government intervention. We needed action by both the public and private sectors to respond to solutions. And then the third thing I would say in terms of what they all will have in common is that the future will look really different. We'll be stronger in many areas, but at the same time, it will highlight many weaknesses. So the 2008 financial crisis, you know, we had opaque markets where we didn't know where many of the risks were. So we had great intervention by our government with the enactment of Dodd-Frank. And as you know, that as a commissioner of the CFTC, I had the privilege of implementing many of those rules. And because of that, our financial markets are much more resilient. 9/11, you know, again, was an outside threat. It was not a financial market crisis. But likewise, we had government intervention with travel restrictions, and we had the involvement with the individual communities. I'm reminded of the slogan, if you see something, say something, which was a really great way to empower individuals to help us address those threats. And as you mentioned at the very beginning, COVID-19 presents a really invisible threat for us. It's a public health crisis, but it's definitely going to have a significant effect on our economy, which is why you're seeing the volatility in the market right now. I think our federal government, particularly with respect to monetary policy, is doing a really great job of pumping liquidity in the market, and I really applaud those actions. Likewise, I do applaud the state governments who are really stepping up to the plate, and for market participants for keeping our markets open and transparent, because it's really important for every investor to have access to funds. So, having said all that, Kim, I think what we've learned from this is that we need a partnership with the public sector, with government, and our local communities at the same time. I think that's what's going to help us overcome this new challenge.
Now, in your role as the first African-American commissioner of the CFTC and also in your role at CPEC, you had an important role to play in making sure some of the most vulnerable were being thought about in this recovery mm-hmm. period, and also some of the regulations that you implemented. In this moment, we know that women are particularly vulnerable. How are women going to be affected by this downturn?
So, Kim, as you know, women make up 39% of the 28 million small businesses in the U.S. and contribute about $1.6 trillion in national revenue and employ nearly 9 million people. So women are real drivers of our economy. We also, as women, control over half of the wealth in the U.S., and we're projected to control two-thirds of it by 2020. So women clearly need to be involved and have a seat at the table. I'm mindful of the fact that the high unemployment it's going to be reflected in some of the jobs like waitresses, educators, hotel workers, service providers who are women who are already underemployed and paid less than 1 cent on the dollar. So I think it's even more urgent that small businesses, and particularly women-owned businesses, have access to capital as quickly as possible so we can continue to be drivers of our economy.
I mean, a lot of government actions are being taken right now. For example, the Fed pledging to buy an unlimited amount of bonds. How do these actions help individuals?
I mean, they're going to help to smooth out some of the short-term pain. But I think we're going to need a longer-term solution. I mean, I think some of the actions taken, for example, you can't be foreclosed on your mortgages. Your landlords can't affect you. Those are nice 90-day fixes. But we have to figure out a way to get income in the hands of individuals. If we do reach the projected 30% unemployment prediction, that's going to have really dire consequences for our economy. So I think we're going to need to think longer term in terms of how we can get our economy back in order. But as you know, the uncertainty right now also is driven by the fact that this is a health crisis. And so the sooner we can give some predictability and certainty and leadership in terms of what tomorrow will look like, I think then we can have a path to the new next normal.
We'll be back after this break. It's very clear that there is a lot of and well-founded stress and anxiety and fear in terms of individuals' health, individuals' families' health. And there's also a lot of fear about the financial markets, about job security. I mean, given all your experience and everything you've seen, what is the best attitude that an individual can take and sort of what techniques do you recommend?
Well, I would say don't panic. You are going to see increased volatility, but our financial markets are doing what they are really, set up to do. And frankly, with technology that we have today, we're able to have our markets function electronically. That's something we didn't really have back in 2008. We also know that we have the ability for people to work from home, which really, I think, is going to reshape our economy going forward. And obviously with that, we have a much smaller carbon footprint and a solution to our global pollution issue. But I would just encourage people to continue to support each other, to follow the directions and instructions from our doctors and from our world leaders and from our local government officials. The market will take care of itself, but it's most important that we first and foremost take care of ourselves, support our local businesses. I've heard great stories, for example, of people ordering, pizza takeout to be delivered for people who need the food. That keeps that pizza place in business, and it solves the problem of feeding people who otherwise don't have the access to get to food. That's the kind of, resiliency that communities show in times of stress. And so I just encourage people to continue to do that, to continue to stay connected with your friends, your family, your neighbors and communities. And that's how we can really continue to have trust and faith in our system and to grow our economy in the future.
So obviously, this is a very dark time for many, and it's a very difficult period for really all of us. What makes you optimistic in this moment?
What makes me really optimistic, Kim, is the things I see now in terms of people making the sacrifices, which are really important that we continue to do so by volunteering to stay home and not spread this virus. That is an act in of itself of sort of giving. So I'm just very impressed with that, and I hope people will still continue to do so. The other reason I'm really optimistic is that we found some solutions to some of the cracks that we saw. Kids now have to learn by computer, and we discovered that many of our kids in public schools didn't have computers. And so the private sector reached out and donated computers to these kids who didn't have it. You know, likewise, food was not available to kids when schools closed. So people came up with the solution of having, you know, pallet places where kids can come and grab and go with their meals. So it highlighted many cracks in our system, but it also gives me the positive optimism that, you know, we come up with solutions when we need to.
Well, it's wonderful to talk to you about this. And I think we'll be checking back in with you. We will all try to maintain the good and sort of calming attitude that you have about staying calm and not panicking. And it's good to hear that you think that we as a society and then our financial markets are resilient. So thanks so much, Sharon, for joining us.
No, thank you for having me, Kim. And also, you know, thank you to the healthcare providers and those who are out there on the front lines supporting us every day.
Yes, we really have to be grateful for these healthcare providers. What they're doing is just so incredible. Thanks so much, Sharon, for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Seneca Women, Conversations on Power and Purpose, brought to you by the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio, with support from founding partner P&G. Listen to Seneca Women Conversations on Power and Purpose on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please support this podcast by telling your friends, subscribing, and rating us. For more information on Seneca Women, follow us on social media, visit our website, senecawomen.com, and check out the Seneca Women app, free in the App Store. Have a great day.